Good morning, Hope Valley friends, and good morning to all our online friends. It is a great honor for me to be here with you today on this crispy April morning. God's mercies are new every day, and they are new this morning as well. Today's message is called Timely Affirmation. Jesus confirms Simon Peter's call to ministry. It is our last sermon in the Gospels of John. And at this time, you know, we've been working through all of these Gospels, and now we reach the pinnacle of God's message for us, for each one of us today. I also want to start just by telling you, you know, I've been very much associated with clocks lately, because our women's ministry vision for the year is around It's Time. We had our first It's Time event in March, where four of our ladies picked up their callings and they really just started running with it to widen the depth and the breadth of what we can bring to women at Hope Valley Church. On the 11th of May, we are having our second function. And this one is called Messy Moments. We have gathered 50 plywood clocks for ladies to decorate and to use various techniques on. And if you would like to get a ticket, you are welcome to scan the QR code, or you can go outside and get one at our welcome desk. And I also just want to remind the gentlemen that it is almost Mother's Day. You know, get the love of your life a ticket. And ladies, this is just going to be a lovely event with the idea that if you take your clock home and you are reminded to align your time and your time planning with God's timeline. Chantal Lloyd will be hosting. And Chantal is just doing a brilliant job of researching all these techniques. Keep our Facebook page open this next 2 weeks, because she will be uploading a lot of videos so you can get an idea of what you want to come and create. This is going to be a fun event. And now, seeing that I am talking about timely affirmation, I want to take you back in time. Not too long ago, I'm taking you back to 2013. This is South Africa's Blade Runner, Oscar Pistorius. And I believe the whole world knows who he is. He actually comes from the same town as I do. You know, Oscar was born as a little boy with deformed lower legs and deformed feet. And before he was 1 year old, his parents made the heartbreaking decision to amputate both his legs below the knees. His life had struggles, obviously, but he was a very persistent athlete, and he was hopping around, apparently, on his little stumps since he was a little boy. Oscar's parents divorced when he was 6, and his dad basically disappeared out of his life. And when he was 15 years old, his mum, to whom he was really close, passed away. Oscar was always a very good athlete, and he became the first athlete in the world to compare against able-bodied athletes in the Olympic Games. But in the early hours, on Valentine's Day, 2013, he fired 4 shots through a closed bathroom door, and he killed his then beautiful girlfriend, Riva Steenkamp. Oscar fell from grace. His platform collapsed. The whole world watched as our hero sat in court after committing a terrible crime. And he broke down and he started weeping and weeping and weeping. It was unbelievable what had happened, and I don't want to imagine what goes on in your heart when you realize, I failed. I failed massively, and my whole life is shattered. Last year, I got, I think it was on Facebook or WhatsApp, a family member of mine forwarded me a little video clip from a small church in South Africa with a humble, sincere pastor speaking that morning. This wasn't a fancy video, and I just want to alert you, please, this is not for Nine News. This is just a small homegrown story. But that is, this explains to us this upside-down kingdom of God. So this pastor started doing prison visits in South Africa. Everything had now quieted down. Oscar's story had been basically buried with new news because he's now incarcerated for 15 years and everything went quiet. So this pastor, on his prison visit, met a group of friends in which Oscar was involved with. And, you know, he was a shadow of the man he used to be. He's a young man, you know, early 20s, and there he is, you know, serving a very long time for this crime that he committed. And this pastor asked them, guys, I do pastoral care, what can I bring you? What do you need? What do you need from home? And this is what they answered in the group of them. They asked for a bowl, a bigger bowl, because they were baptizing inmates. And this was now the group of people that Oscar was associating himself with. You know, and this just, it just once again opened my mind, as we will later hear, even about the story of Simon Peter. This is something that is happening today. We are not talking about old criminals, old failures. I mean, we can. We know Moses killed a man. King David killed a man. God forgave them, and God used them again. Can I tell you more? No, I can't. I wish there was more to tell at this stage. But what I can tell you is that Jesus can find you anywhere, and he can forgive any failure. Nothing is too big for him. In this world, I think Oscar will always be remembered by what he'd done. He will be a failure in a lot of people's minds. But in God's heart, the moment he deeply repented, God forgave him. God forgave him. And that is still what happens today. And I think the most wonderful thing about this is God goes to them. He meets you or me, wherever we are, friends. If we do not understand this enormous gift of grace, then we do not understand the heart and the character of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Once you understand this enormous gift of grace, you want to serve God, because you never want to see anyone else living in a lower capacity than the best that God has for them. You know, the kingdom of God belongs to whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You are whosoever. The kingdom of God is open to everyone. You don't have to be perfect. God doesn't tell you it's going to be an easy ride. What he does say is, follow me and come back and follow me. We are saved by Jesus Christ so he can use us and activate us for the plans that he purposed for us a long time ago. Now I'm going to turn the clock back even a little bit further. And I'm going to go back to what we've been speaking about since January in John's Gospels. In the first chapters of John's Gospels, we find that Jesus meets the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And right there, he tells them, you are going to be fishers of men. He proclaims that. And he speaks into Simon Peter's heart when he says to him, Simon, I call you Peter, which means rock. Because God saw the potential. God saw the core. He saw the seed. Did he say to Simon Peter, you already are the rock? No. He said, you follow me. I will make you. I will make you into the rock. Jesus basically told them, guys, when I met you, you were fishing for fish. But when you follow me, I will develop your character. I will develop all those innate skills that you have. And I will use them for you to live a life of purpose and significance that you could never have foreseen on your own. All he said was, just keep following me. Come hell, come high waters, come pain, come disappointment, come failure. Just follow me. Following Jesus is a risky business. You know, it's not for the faint-hearted. There's a lot of things we have to deal with when we start following Jesus, and a lot of messes he has to clean up. You know, sometimes your own thoughts can be your worst enemy. And if the enemy can't take you out with your own thoughts, he sends someone to take you out. And that is why God admonishes us to put on the armor. To put on the armor, because we need protection. We need protection to keep on believing that he is there, his plans are good, and for us to believe in what he put in us as well. In my own life, I have experienced this. You know, it's very exciting to grow, to step into new things. It's anxiety provoking, you know, it's an adrenaline rush. But in all honesty, the more you want to move in God's kingdom, the more you have to put down. Some places you just can't go with all your anger. You can't go with your insecurity. You can't go with your pain. You can't take your failures. You know, there's a reason why God changed Lot into a salt pillar. Was Lot dared to look over his shoulder to see what was happening to Sodom and Gomorrah? Tried to mull over it, and God immediately changed him into a salt rock. Friends, there are baggages and suitcases that we have to put down if we really want to find God's will and his purpose for our lives. So, in order for God to make all things new, the old things have to go. And Simon Peter's journey started that day on that beach as he started taking the first baby step into what would become the most amazing journey. A journey that I'm sharing 3,000 years later, and we're still talking about it. I want to ask you, have you ever stuffed up really bad? I mean, have you really failed so badly that you couldn't look yourself in the mirror? You felt pain, shame, emotional pain, and the enemy whispering, failure, failure, failure. That is not God. That is not God. You know, Simon Peter was human, like us. At times he was very outspoken. He was impulsive. He was brave. You know, he always went first, even when, you know, they were in the boat. He was the first one to say, I'm coming. I'm going to walk on the water with you, Lord. All the other disciples were in the boat. They were just watching. So he was brave. And I sometimes just, now that I learn more about him and read more about him, I realize that this guy was an innovator. You know, innovation doesn't ask permission. It asks you to step out. It asks you to go out of your comfort zone, push yourself a little bit further. All for God's glory. You know, Simon Peter loved his new friend Jesus. He saw the miracles he did, the teaching, the mentoring. But Simon Peter was still a spiritual teenager. God didn't expect him to arrive instantly. He didn't expect him to be perfect either. On the evening they captured Jesus, you know, he pulled out a sword. And just like a naughty teenager, Jesus rebuked him for doing that. Hours later, he follows Jesus into the courtyard where the guards are, but he's there. He's there to watch Jesus. When I was younger, I always thought Simon Peter is the biggest loser ever. I mean, who betrays Jesus Christ? Out of everyone you can betray, why Jesus Christ? But as I followed his story, I realized that people fail. And it's not how we fail, it's how we end the story. So Jesus had already predicted this betrayal. And on that night, when that rooster crowed for the third time, Simon Peter cracked and he wept. And he realized what he had done. I mean, can you imagine? I just betrayed Jesus Christ and he's going to die. You know, I cannot imagine the emotional pain that he was in, realizing what he had done. You know, and sometimes our baggage and our pain sticks to us. It sticks to us like a bad rash, which we feel we can never get rid of. But that's not the work of God. God is love. And we thank him this morning that we do have an answer for this universal pain, the universal pain of sin. So this was on the beach of Galilee. And now I'm taking you to where we are actually in the last chapter of John's Gospels. We have now come full circle, 3 years later, and we are back. We are back on the beach by the sea in Galilee. You know, the disciples are probably not bantering, telling jokes. This is a difficult time. You know, first Jesus died, then he arose, and he's only showed up twice before. And now they're waiting for this Holy Spirit, which I don't think they completely understood, but the Holy Spirit that's coming. So they're in this in-between place. And we don't hear laughs and jokes. We just hear Simon Peter saying, I'm going fishing. He's going back to what he knows, to what is familiar. And all the other disciples already know he's the leader, because they all go and they all go fishing. And during that night, they catch nothing. Cold on a boat, all of them, probably each one in their own thoughts. They catch nothing, and they sit on that boat with lonely hearts, empty nets. And it's a raw and a confusing time. But then we read, "Good morning! Did you catch anything for breakfast?" They answer, "No." He says to them, throw your net on the other side of the boat and see what happens. What is he really saying? He is saying, fish where I show you to fish, because that's where the blessings are. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, says to Simon Peter, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." Now let's just stop here for a second. If Jesus can reach a prison cell in South Africa, in the vicinity of our local hero, Oscar Pistorius, then Jesus can reach you anywhere. And Jesus finds Simon Peter in his sin, in his brokenness, in that boat. Yes, he must have repented deeply, but Jesus is there for him in his greatest hour of self-hatred and need. Jesus is there. And what does Jesus do? He does what he's always done. He is on the beach. He is cooking bread and fish for them. You know, Jesus looks after their physical needs and their spiritual needs. And he serves them as a king. Because in God's kingdom, the real unsung heroes are those who serve with open hands. And that is what Jesus came to demonstrate us. Yes, Jesus has forgiven Simon Peter. And now he wants to affirm the identity that he placed on him 3 years ago. That was never going to change. That was always going to be who he was, if he kept on following Jesus. In John 21, verse 15 to 17, we read, "After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, master. You know I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He then asked the second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, master. You know I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Shepherd my sheep.' Then he said it a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Now Peter was upset that he asked it the third time. I mean, I think he was thinking, 'Lord, I just dove into the sea to see you. How can you still wander?' But he answered, 'Master, you know everything. You know everything there is to know. You have got to know that I love you.' And this is how God affirmed Peter's call to ministry. 3 times he betrayed Jesus, and 3 times Jesus confirmed and affirmed what he'd called him to do, to be a shepherd, to feed his lambs. He is still going to use Simon Peter as the person he was, his skill sets, everything that he had. But now Simon Peter is putting down the old net. He's going to use another net. He was always outspoken. He always had the gift of the gab. And now God is going to use him to preach. He put his fish net down and he never looked back again. And Simon Peter became one of the first chief apostles of the New Testament church. Friends, as we stand here, as I stand here and you sit, we are each here because God has called us. His Holy Spirit has brought us here. And each one of us have an identity that was formed a long, long time ago. And if you've given up on yourself because of your failure, just remember, God hasn't. Not for a moment. His plans still stand. If we repent, his plans are still good and we still have a future. I sense the Lord saying that it is time. It is time for a miraculous birth. We all have dreams. We all have hopes. And the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us. And I want to say to you today that this is where fear, failure, and pain stops. God is good and his plans are good. And whatever the Holy Spirit has been whispering to your heart, that you think, I'm not good enough, I'm not there yet, I'm not this, I'm not that. I want to say to you today, God affirms it. The Holy Spirit affirms it. Step out of the boat. Step into the wide open waters, a vista of what God has just for you. And trust Him, because it will be scary. You will at times feel uncertain. But as long as you follow Him, He will lead you one baby step at a time. Let us freeze this moment in time. As I pray for us, and I just feel the Holy Spirit bringing a new life. Your sins are forgiven. There's hope. There's a future. And whatever it is that God has been prompting you, He affirms it. He wants it. Trust Him. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you in utter dependence today. We pray that you will fill this atmosphere, Lord. We pray that you will speak into the deepest crevices of our hearts. You placed your desires in each one of us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will put a big, big yes and affirm all those dreams that can benefit your kingdom, Lord. All those dreams that we've thought we weren't good enough for. Lord, we don't have to be good enough, because you are good enough. Lord, I pray, as we become quiet before you today, that we will know nothing can separate us from you. And you are a good Father who wants to bless us. And with you, all our prayers in your will is yes and amen from you. We praise you, Holy Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.